Let's keep that going. Let's keep that going for just a minute today. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place and thank Him for His presence that is already here today. What a beautiful touch of the Lord is here in this parking lot with us today. Amen. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19. What a beautiful presence of God is here. What a beautiful evening it is to be in the presence of God with the people of God in a very unique setting. But anybody thankful for the opportunity to do this together this evening? Amen. Amen. We are living in a day with, I'm tired of using the word challenges, so we're just going to substitute some words today. And we're living in a day with opportunities. These are unique opportunities. And so I feel like the Spirit has challenged me to reframe the way I view this. And so these are opportunities. Anybody thankful for this opportunity? Paul put it this way. He said, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and there are many adversaries." But there's opportunities. There are open doors. God is getting the church outside, literally getting the church outside. And He is doing some amazing things in this season. And I'm so thankful to be a part of it. Amen. It's so good to see everybody out tonight. John chapter 19 and verse number 19. I also want to just honor Brother Peter Bingley for his ministry tonight. Didn't he do an amazing job as always? Amen, my dear friend. And Brother Ulysses, love and appreciate him. And it's good to have Pastor Jeremiah here and his beautiful bride, his lovely bride with him, his much better half with him. Amen. And I'm glad to have them with us tonight as well. And it's always an honor to be at Life Church. We love Life Church and love your pastor and his family. They're so dear and precious to us. He is my big brother, not physically, but he is my adopted big brother, and I look up to him and admire him and respect him. How many love your pastor, your shepherd, your man of God? You are so blessed, the leadership of Pastor and Sister Brown and their amazing family and all the leaders here. It's so good to see everybody here tonight and so many good friends. It always feels a little bit familiar. Coming to Life Church just feels a little bit like family. It's good to see Brother Lede, and it's good to see the Jimenezes. He's got the Dodgers shirt on today. Go Dodgers. Let's go Doyers. Praise God. Got that win against the Giants today, you know. And people talk about sports and whether or not, you know, is it acceptable for people of the Spirit to follow sports. Well, all I know is every time I'm at Dodger Stadium, there's an organ going, people are on their feet, people are shouting, and Giants are usually being defeated. So you tell me, amen. John chapter 19, that was for Sister Jen. I know she's a Giants fan. So John chapter 19, verse number 19. I just come today to encourage somebody. Does anybody feel like this day and age that we live in today, that we just need a word of encouragement from time to time? We just need a word of encouragement from time to time. So I'm not going to be long tonight. I just want to encourage somebody. My hope today is that somebody walks out of here, a dad, a mom, a family, a unit. We walk out of here just encouraging our spirits, amen, understanding that God is on our side. And God is for us, and there is no weapon that is formed against us that can prosper. But we are more than Oh, we're about to get carried away in a parking lot service. Better calm down. John chapter 19, verse 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King. Everybody say the King. The King of the Jews. Verse 20. This title was then read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. I want to just skip over to Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 14 very quickly. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords. And there it is again, King. Everybody say King. And King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Any called people today? I know there's some faithful people because you're here. Any called people? Any chosen people? Are you with the King today? John called him a king. Paul called him a king. John the Revelator called him a king. Look at your neighbor and say, we have a king. Come on, look at your other neighbor if you have one, or shout it from across the parking lot. We have a king. Come on, I heard that. We have a king. So I just want to spend the next few minutes taking a look at that title there for just the next few minutes. We have a king. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. We love your presence. There's nothing like your presence, God. There's nothing like your presence, God. Oh, Lord, I could search the whole world over, and I could not find anything like your presence. I'm thankful tonight, Lord, that your presence is here in this parking lot. Thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing. Amen. Speak to us today. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Let me go ahead and take my coat off. He was born on February 16th, the year 1519, and he died just 53 short years later. His name was Gaspard de Coligny. He was a great military admiral to France during a time of history known as the War of Religions. He soon became the leader of a group of people called the Huguenots. The Huguenots were people who were loyal to their country, to their faith, and to their king. It was known as the War of Religions because it was during a time when Catholicism had joined hand in hand with the government of Spain. Both of them together began a bloody conquest throughout that part of the country, conquering and killing. And they came to a little town of the Huguenots where Colonel Coligny was in charge, and he was in command of a small army. The small army of the Huguenots fought bravely and defended mightily their home front. At one point, when famine and fever was rampant with the colony, and it looked as if their small army was no match for the great religious and political army of Spain, the soldiers of Spain began to shoot arrows over the walls of the Huguenots. And attached to these arrows were pieces of parchment with this simple note inscribed on them: surrender, and your life and your land will be spared. History says that he picked up one of these arrows and he attached his own piece of parchment to it, and he tossed some of these arrows back over the walls of this city, and his inscription was simple: we have a king. His act of boldness, his act of courage allowed a fresh wave of energy to encamp around his people, because he did not want to surrender to the government of another nation, because he did not want to surrender to a system that he did not agree with, and because he did not want to bring dishonor to his own king. His reply to the deal of their surrender were four little words: we have a king. By boldly making that proclamation known, he was letting his enemy know that his country had a reason to fight, and his people had a reason to not surrender. They had a reason to hope. They had a reason not to despair. Regardless of what might have been happening on the other side of those walls, they had a king. And the king, the fact that they had a king, gave them courage and gave them hope. Today, almost 500 years to the day of that point in history, and it seems like we are again engaged in another war of religions. The government of darkness has teamed up with a watered down and compromised and a lukewarm system of religion in this world. And it has teamed up with secularism in this world. And it seems like It seems like the systems of this world are ever encroaching on the walls of the church. And it seems like there's some arrows that have been flung over the walls of the church lately. Surrender, and you can keep your prosperity, and you can keep your belongings, and you can keep your lives. And today, much like it was on that day, the enemy has hoisted arrows over the walls of your faith. Messages attached to those arrows might read things like surrender, give up, it's no use, there's no hope, nobody wants to do this anymore, nobody really believes in this anymore, there's no hope for you, you can't have revival in these last days, you've sinned too much, you've gone too far, but if you would just give me a little liberty on this Sunday afternoon, I would like to remind somebody today of what we read in our scripture text, John 19:19, he is the King of the Jews. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, he is our King of Kings. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 17 says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. I come tonight to give Life Church with a simple, just a little bit of encouragement, with a simple four-letter imperative, a simple four-word inscription today for your enemy. We have a King. We are not by ourselves. We have not been rejected. We have not been abandoned. We have not been deserted. We have not been overlooked. We have not been forgotten. We have a King. The King of glory is with us. He's an ever-present help in a time of need. My King said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. My King said, but I'm going to come unto you. My King said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. My King says, whether you flee from my presence, if you ascend to the heavens, I'm there. If you make your bed in hell, behold, even I am there. This ought to encourage somebody today. You can't go far enough to get away from the presence of this King. You can't run far enough to get away from the presence of this King. You can't fall far enough to get away from the presence of this ought to encourage somebody today. You have a King, and because of that, you don't have to give up, and because of that, you don't have to give in, and because of that, you don't have to throw in the towel, and because of that, you don't have to quit and throw your hands up in defeat, but you can throw your hands up in the air and boldly proclaim to the enemy of your spirit, devil, we have a King, and this King is worth fighting for, and this King is worth standing for, and this King is worth enduring some hardships for, and this King is worth worshiping, and he's worth. So, because of Coloni's revelation and understanding that they had a King, his people possessed three distinct characteristics that set them apart from the people around them. When they remembered that they had a King, it gave them courage to stay in the fight. It gave them strength to endure and to not faint. And it gave them hope instead of despair. Three ingredients that kept this tiny army sane during the war of religions: courage, strength, and hope. Let me just again reiterate this to you in case you've missed the opportunities that are around us. But we are in a battle. We are in a war. The enemy is after your soul. The enemy desires to make a compromise and to make a deal with you and with your family. The enemy would like nothing more for you to give up and for you to give in. As a matter of fact, I believe the enemy is telling you, you can keep some of your blessings, but just don't be so extreme for the things of God. You can keep some of your things, but just don't go so hard for Jesus. Let me tell you, and just remind somebody of a very simple truth in Scripture. The devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And we don't need to listen to him for 1 minute. There are three things that I believe that are missing in many Christians' life: courage, strength, and hope. Because if you can truly get a hold of this revelation that we have a King, that ought to give you the courage and the strength and the hope that you need. You need to read this in Psalm chapter 31, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All of you that hope in the Lord. I want you to notice these three words: courage, strength, and hope. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 31 that Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong, strength, and be of courage, for thou must go with this people to the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. So fear not, neither be dismayed. Neither be dismayed. Joshua had been dependent upon Moses. Moses had been dependent upon the Lord. And now Moses was gone. And Joshua had to step out of his comfort zone in order to do what God had called him to do. A lot of Christians kind of staying in the comfort zone. And God's calling us to come out. God's calling us to have courage. God's calling us to have some strength. I've come to preach to somebody today just to remind you, just to encourage you. You have a king today. And because of that fact, you ought to take courage. Because of that fact, you ought to get a hold of some strength today. Regardless of the changes going on around the church today, regardless of the opportunities that are in front of us, God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And you might not know what's coming tomorrow, but you know who God is. And as long as you know who your king is, I don't need to know what the challenges look like. I don't need to know what all the answers look like. I don't know all this, but I know who does. We have a king today. And because we have a king, there is nothing that this church cannot do. There is no place that this church cannot conquer. There is no soul in this city that this church cannot reach, because we have a king. It's not time to surrender. Maybe this is what we are missing in the kingdom of God today. Maybe what we are missing in the kingdom of God today is not a bigger building. But just a fresh revelation of the kingship of Jesus Christ in our lives. Maybe what we need in the church today is not more money and more resources, but enough courage, enough people with conviction to stand when everybody else is sitting. I just feel this in the Holy Ghost today. Somebody needs to hear this today. Maybe what we need in the church right now, it's not better music, better graphics, better facilities. I'm for all of those things. And I know Life Church is for all of those things. And your leadership is for all of those things. We're sitting outside of a building that is getting ready to be constructed for the glory of God. It's going to be done with excellence. It's going to be a place of refuge. It's going to be a place where truth is preached. It's going to be a place where lives are changed and souls are saved. I think we understand that we believe in these things, but maybe what we need right now is not more stuff. Maybe what God is trying to do in this season right now is to take us outside of these things for just a few months and weeks and who knows how long, maybe a year. Can you still shout when we're still doing this a year? Listen, I don't want it. Believe me. We're paying a lot of money for a building in Glendale. I want to use it. But maybe what we need right now, and one of the reasons why God has us outside, is to get us off of our addiction to things in the American church and just move us back to a place of revelation where we understand that all we need is Jesus. It all started with Jesus. It's all going to end with Jesus. All this stuff is nice. Pretty music is nice. Amen. Good graphics are nice. Nice buildings are great. But all we need is a revelation of who our King of Glory is. There's a reason why the early church had revival. And it wasn't because of their facilities. It wasn't because of their resources. It was because of their revelation. There's a reason why we had revival on Azusa Street. We're on Azusa Avenue. We had revival on Azusa Street about 114 years ago in this very region. Why? Because it wasn't the resources. In fact, it was in a it was in a tombstone shop in a building that was run down and had been used as a stable for horses and as a place to build tombstones. But yet they had a revival there that shook the foundation of heaven and earth, and it spread all across the globe, and it's still on fire today. What happened? It wasn't their resources. It was their revelation. A preacher got a hold of a revelation. Some people got a hold of revelation. They preach Acts 2:38. They preach baptism in Jesus' name. They preach the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And revival. Maybe what we need is not resources, but revelation. Maybe God is stripping us of the resources to get us back to revelation, to understand that we need to be a people that walk in a revelatory understanding of who our King is. And He is still with us, and He is still on our side. And it doesn't matter if we're in a big building, or if we're in a parking lot, or if we're online, or we're in a living room, or we're in a field somewhere, or rented. It doesn't matter. We could have church in our cars. Amen. We could have church underground if we had to. We need to understand who our King is. When you understand who your King is, it gives you the courage to be who God has called you to be. It gives you the courage to stand when everybody else is sitting. Amen. To scream when everybody else is silent, to worship when everybody else is worrying. When everybody else is worrying, there better be some worshipers. You can't worship when there's worry unless you have revelation of who your King. This is why it's so important to get this revelation of Christ Jesus, of who He is. It is all in Him, the fullness of the Godhead. It is all in Jesus, the Jesus that I worship. He is not just a member, amen, of a Godhead. He is the Godhead. He is all of it. And so when I call on the name of Jesus, it's the fullness of God. It's the fullness of His glory. It's the fullness of His power. Revelation over resources produces worship in the middle of worry. Courage is not a lack of fear. It's just overcoming the fear through revelation of who is on your side. As a matter of fact, I would say that courage is doing what you're afraid to do, even when you're afraid to do it. There can be no courageous acts unless fear is present. Joshua chapter 2, verse number 9, and I'm closing with this. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Talk about a revelation. They were afraid of these giants in this land. They were afraid of the walls in this land. Grasshoppers in their sight, some said. But here's a revelation that Joshua received from the perspective of his enemy. We've heard about you. We've heard about you. I am convinced that the reason there is so much pressure against the church is because our enemy is more afraid of us than we are of him. You ever go to like a national forest? You ever go to like a place where there's wild animals? And they tell you now if a 9,000-pound grizzly, and I don't know if they weigh that much, but if a 9,000-pound grizzly comes upon you, don't worry. He's more afraid of you than you are of him. You're a liar. That is not true. You're just trying to make me feel better because I'm about to be a snack. That is not the truth. But I am convinced, everything I read in Scripture, the kingdom of hell is more afraid of you than you are of it. The kingdom of hell is so petrified over one believer who gets a revelation of who their King is. We've already heard about you guys. Yeah, you're Life Church. We've heard about you guys. Yeah, you're the church that praise, and you're the church that believes, and you're the church that preaches truth. We already know about you guys. We already know what's up with you. Let me tell you something. We've actually fortified the gates of this city because we heard that you were coming. You understand something. Do you know why there's so much opposition to get this thing done? You understand? You know why there's so much opposition to have revival here? Because the kingdom of darkness in this city already knew that you were on the way. So they fortified the gates of this city against you. But you need to get a revelation and stand up tall today and say, we have a king and God is on our side. And we're going to have revival in Covina. And we're going to have revival in Azusa. And we're going to have revival in the San Gabriel Valley because we have a king. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When we get a hold of this, we've got to understand, I've got a king today. COVID can't stop me because I've got a king today. The government can't stop a church because we've got a king today. Sickness and disease can't stop revival. When we get a revelation that we've got a king today, if you need a touch of God in your body, just stand up in this place and declare, I've got a king. If you need revival in your family, come on somebody. Just stand up and declare, I've got a king today. I know what the enemy's trying to tell you, but somebody needs to pick up some parchment and a pen and inscribe some letters on that paper and send it flying back to your enemy. We have a king. My family has a king. Amen. My ministry has a king. We're going to be blessed. We're going to walk in favor. We're not going to be defeated because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, lift your hands to heaven all across this place. There's revelation setting in right now. Some of you, you're trying to figure out how are we going to get through this. It's not a resource. It's a revelation. Some of you are trying to figure out how are we going to figure all this out. Let me tell you, there's a revelation coming your way. It's not going to be found in the resources of this world. It's going to be found in a simple revelation. Amen. That's found in this book, that the King of Glory is on your side. The King of Glory is with you. Yay. I go before you. Yea, I make a way for you. If you ascend to the heights of heaven, guess what? I'm going to be there. But if you make your bed in the depths of hell, guess what? I'm going to be there too. What's he saying? He's saying you can't go high enough to get over me, and you can't go low enough to get under me. Get this revelation today. We have a king. Come on, I feel victory rising up in this place. I feel healing rising up in this place. The church has a king today. The people of God have a king today. Come on, do you need a blessing in your life? Do you need a breakthrough in your life today? Revelation is coming. Revelation is coming. Revelation is coming. We've got a king. We've got a king. We've got a king. Come on, lift your hands all across this place right now. You've been praying for resources. I'm praying that you get revelation. Amen, brother. God bless you in Jesus' name. You've been praying for resources. Let me help me pray for this brother right now in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this brother.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to... Come on, somebody lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody lift up the name of Jesus. What he was preaching is happening right now, right in this place. Oh. Hallelujah. Oh, great are you, Lord. Hey, oh, great are you, Lord.
Great are you.
Oh, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. Give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken.
If you need something from the Lord, I encourage you, just right where you are, lift your hands and receive it right now in this place. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in this place right now. Whatever you need, just lift your hands and receive it. Hallelujah. When you lift your hands, say, I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. You're worthy. You're able. Hallelujah. Oh, great are you, Lord. Say you give. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Help us sing it one time. Say it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Sing it again. Say, all the earth.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Lift it up. Say,
all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
With everything you have, say, all the earth.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Can we just give him praise right now? This is beautiful. Amen. I feel the presence of the Lord here in a special, special way. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I have sensed the last couple of weeks and then this week as well that there is a corner that we are turning here. And this necessary moving to the outdoors, I believe God is going to do some powerful things in the next few weeks. And we're going to call this Sunday Night Live. And I just believe that God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, that we're going to see miracles take place, that we're going to see lives change. And I want you to be a part of it. Can you join with me this week and be full of expectation that God's going to use you this week to share hope to somebody? There's a lot of needy people right now, a lot of people who are anxious to experience the gospel, or maybe they don't know it, but they know that they're desperate, they know they're anxious, and God's going to use us, I really believe, each and every one of us, amen, to be a part of what He's going to do in this last season. I want to say a big thank you to Brother David McGovern. What a great word from God. We have a king. Amen. We have a king. Doesn't matter what we don't have, we have a king. Praise the Lord. And thank you, Brother Peter, for coming and joining with us. Always a blessing for you to be with us. And I just feel the flow of the Holy Ghost. I know I was at a wedding and I just got here, but I'm ready to have church for another hour. Can you guys go? Amen. Praise God. It's been great seeing each and every one of you. And we pray God's blessing on you this week. And we are going to continue working and believing and moving forward with what God has for us in this season of time. And so thank you for being in the house of the Lord. And we want you to be respectful to each other as you greet one another. And God bless you. Yes, sir.